So how did we do it? It's be, do, have. That's the difference. Everyone else is operating on have, do, be. How do I have a diverse group?
Yeah.
And then what do I do to have it? And then finally, I'll be a Wi-Fi tribe that's so diverse, right? So that they're thinking have, and then they're thinking do, and then they're thinking be. I never thought that way. I thought be, do, have.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of this podcast episode with Sharif Fouad, who is an entrepreneur, speaker, and teacher. If you haven't listened to part one, do hop back and have a listen. You can find out all about Sharif's journey. But in this part, we are going to be discussing diversity within the digital nomad space and what we can do to make our companies, our social circles, and, you know, the things that we're a part of more inclusive. So if you want to find out more about that, then do keep listening. This part is going to be great for those of you who are looking to build communities from the ground up, or build into existing communities, you know, a place where people can really be their authentic selves. So stay tuned, and I really hope that you enjoy it. So what I'd like to do now, Sharif, is ask you a little bit more about some of the sessions that you run at Rally Raw. And there's one that I think I'd like to focus on around conscious communication, and also some of the really tough topics that are facing a lot of us. You know, we've been, 2020 has been, you know, our Jumanji year, and we've had the pandemic, and everyone was like, okay. And then everything kicked off once there was, you know, George Floyd was murdered in the street. It's almost blown the lid off of some agendas around diversity, inclusion, and specifically the travel industry. And then we niche it back down to digital nomads. So I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are around some of these things, because I feel as though, you know, digital nomads are talking about these things. It's a predominantly white community, and lots of Americans. So, for example, in Wi-Fi tribe, just over 50%, maybe even more so, 50% of the folks that make up part of this community are from the States, and predominantly people are Caucasian. And so everyone has been, well, lots of us have been trying to have this conversation, have this dialogue. We don't really know where to start. So as someone who is a bit of an expert in terms of conscious communication, opening up these dialogues, and how should the digital nomad community approach some of these subjects?
So I think you don't know where to start, because when I hear the way you mention that, it doesn't sound like that people know where they want to go.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say, I want to participate in diversity conversations. Where do I start? What are you looking for? What are you looking to get out of it? Mm-hmm. What is your actual objective? If we can identify an objective, then we can begin, and we can talk about where to start. So I think that's the biggest issue, is everybody is talking about performance involvement, which is like sharing memes and posting on Instagram, or jabbing at somebody on Slack or some kind of like rapid messenger type thing, rather than getting face to face. And if you can't get face to face, get at least on a Zoom and say, okay, the purpose of this meeting is so that we can understand, for example, racism, how it started, its current modern day implications, and what we can do in our personal lives to mitigate it, and what we can do as an individual, what we can do as a collective, what we can do as a tribe. And then we can have that conversation. Well, that's something we can talk about, right? But we can't be that vague and just say, I want the tribe to be more diverse. I want this. And like, where do we start? Like, because to me, it doesn't tell me that you care enough. If that means you're just doing it for yourself. If you know what I mean? If you don't see a problem, an example is like, if you were to walk by your neighbor's house and it was on fire and you just said like, hey, what does someone do when this happens? Like, where should I start? Like, if you care enough, you instinctively, you get in there and you do what needs to be done, or you let fear take over and you don't, or you go through this mental process of assessing the risk versus the likelihood of you being successful, then you go do something. You don't sit there and you deliberate and whatever, right? And so that's the same thing. It's like, what is my objective? Rescue this person from this crisis. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's map out what that looks like so we can safely achieve that. And I think that that's just not happening. People are being very vague in what their goals are. And so that, and if that's the case, we can't even begin the process.
Mm-hmm. I'm a person of color. I've grown up in predominantly white communities. My parents moved out of London before I was born, and we live in a sleepy town somewhere in Kent. So I just wanted to, I kind of wanted to ask you, because I know that a lot of people will sort of look at digital nomads and you just see maybe the odd black person, maybe the odd Asian person or whatever. Like, how can we start to bring more people in? So I guess that's why I'm kind of asking about how do we have that conversation when you've got a group of people that are predominantly white.
I'll tell you. It's because I successfully did it in the middle of a super white town like Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
When you look at my cafe, it is not predominantly white. The staff is not predominantly white. The customers are not predominantly white.
Yeah.
But the demographic of the geographic location that we are in is predominantly white. So statistically, it is very unrealistic to achieve what I achieved. It's just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's completely against the numbers and what would normally happen.
Yeah.
And the customer base of my demographic is largely white and is a higher income given the price of the products that we sell. So how did we do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's be, do, have. That's the difference. Everyone else is operating on have, do, be. How do I have a diverse group?
Yeah.
And then what do I do to have it?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I'll be a Wi-Fi tribe that's so diverse.
Yeah.
Right. So that they're thinking have, and then they're thinking do, and then they're thinking be.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that way. I thought be, do, have. Mm-hmm. How I'm going to be a shop that plays my favorite music, which happens to be hip hop. That, mm-hmm. and like, I am a person of color, and I in attracting people who are like me. And
yeah.
So because I am being me, I'm doing the things that that such a person does. And so then I'm having that I'm attracting that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's an inside out approach. If we want to have diversity, what a have do be person would do is they would deploy affirmative action in their hiring process. What a be do have person would do, like myself, is we would embody the very traits that create a culture that is a fertile soil that draws in people who want to enjoy it and come around that. I mean, you and me as people of color, mm-hmm. if we're feeling very comfortable, we're going to tell our friends who are people of color to join Wi-Fi tribe. If we feel like we are the token people of color, and as you said, the odd this or the odd that, mm-hmm. and that we're there for optics or for something that's not sincere, it might just be, we might be on the outskirts of that, and you and I might never actually get in tight with the group, and we sure as hell aren't going to scream it from the rooftops to draw other people closer in.
Mm-hmm.
But it naturally takes care of itself through word of mouth when people of color feel psychological safety, because it's happening naturally and authentically, and it's not done based on rules, regulations, and requirements and quotas that need to be met, but it's mm-hmm. real, then it happens. And so we need to talk about who we are, the be part, before we talk about the do, and then before we talk about the have. It has to be inversed.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you know what? I've never really thought of it like that. So I'm sure for you guys listening, you know, that's something quite profound if you're
sort of in your, if you're entrepreneurs or, you know, building your own businesses, then that's definitely something to bear in mind. How does that then apply? So obviously you built Rally Raw from scratch with, you know, and it's kind of got your thumbprint on and the way that you are and the way that you think about these things. For something that is already existing, the digital nomad community already exists. It's predominantly filled with people of, you know, particular background, status, passport, all of that stuff. If you're already starting with something, how do all of us as individuals that make up this community, what work do we need to do? And I say the royal we, on the basis that some of us have a head start, to put it lightly, and others of us have maybe never even thought of it. How do we as individuals embody that culture of inclusion and diversity? How can we go about that?
I think that I can very positively say that, as you mentioned, that there's a continuum where some people are behind, other people's are more ahead, right? Mm-hmm. I would say, looking at that continuum, the people in the first half, or at least just early on in the process of self-development and understanding the nuances of, I think that you're talking about racism one, mm-hmm. right? And inclusion, is resist the urge to correct another, because that's a projection of your own ignorance, and mm-hmm. you're trying to numb, comfort, and placate your own ignorance by shifting that ignorance onto another person. Mm-hmm. That's literally what's happening. So when you have someone who doesn't understand really what's going on, they have two choices. The easy choice, which is tell someone how to be better, which is projection, mm-hmm. or the hard choice, which is go in and learn and do the work, which is introspection. Mm-hmm. And usually people resort to projection, and they don't do it because they're assholes. They do it because they don't know any better. And it's just the common egoic response when we're not living from a higher self. And mm-hmm. so then what it's individuals like you, myself, anyone who might be maybe even a leader in this group or in a company, to call them in and say, mm-hmm. hey, I urge you to do some of this, and maybe this resource might be useful for you. It's not our job to do that. Yeah. But if we want to go above and beyond, then that's really kind to do that. I think that, to answer your question as succinctly as possible, is each individual is responsible for them.
Yes.
And if the next year, say, is done of every individual only working on themselves rather than thinking about where the tribe is and the company is going to go, there's going to be tremendous impact from that than going to the prize, the destination of having the outcome. Mm-hmm. Because the outcome is a ripple effect. It starts in, it goes out, out. And then the outcome is the collective, the group is made to be exactly what you and I are hopeful of achieving, but it doesn't happen. Again, it's be, do, have. So so you'd have to, I would tell that person to read like White Fragility and Me and White Supremacy. Those two books are like really easy in terms of like understanding, mm-hmm. but they may not be easy to, like they're earth shattering to the psyche, but they're really important starting points.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I've never been on a chapter, but I don't want to go to a chapter where I'm talking about like which bottle of wine tastes more like black fucking currants. Like I want to go to a chapter where, like, at night after we're done, we're talking about this and we're rumbling. That's not the conversation for Slack, but that's the conversation for a chapter.
Yeah.
And like, that would be really, really exciting, because that the vulnerability required to have those types of talks is mm-hmm. going to bring those chapters tight. And then we might be like, oh, I want to go on this chapter with the people who are on that chapter, mm-hmm. because, right? But you don't have to. You can repeat the process again, get that vulnerable again. And then it's interesting. You'll be like, oh man, that wasn't a one-off thing. It wasn't that those people were just that amazing. It was that we all were okay enough to go, we're all comfortable enough to be vulnerable for long enough to facilitate real human connection. And that's actually the thing that we should crave, the process, not the people. So you can actually do it again with any chapter. Yeah. Right. And then there might be some people who don't participate in those conversations. You might have that a group of 15 people after dinner sitting in a chapter, and there's three or four people who are sitting in their rooms because they don't want to do that work. Well, they're the minority. And if that happens often enough, those people will then see their way out, and they'll be replaced by the culture you want, the people who see their way in. And that's what I mean by this stuff happening. It's energetic, and it happens naturally, and it doesn't, the difference is we're not letting those three people who feel uncomfortable in the room because we're talking about real stuff. Yeah. Had we not been conscious, it might've been the reverse. It would have been those three people out slamming shots of tequila while everybody else didn't know how to connect vulnerably and authentically. Yeah. Right. So it could happen any way. And so we, as you know, you especially as a leader in this community, can be responsible for how these chapters feel, making it comfortable to get the outcome you want, making it uncomfortable to get the outcome you don't want.
Yeah, that's actually amazing. So say, for example, you I guess this goes not just for Wi-Fi Tribe, but also wider digital nomad groups. And I like to keep things specific here because obviously this is a podcast about digital nomad lifestyle and everything that goes with it. So for all of us as individuals, what should we look out for in ourselves that might stop us from engaging with these conversations and moving forward? What should we look out for that makes us, you know, when we think, oh, I don't want to get involved in that. They're talking about deep stuff. I'm not getting involved. How do we...
Yeah, I think two things. One is we should look out for that voice is saying, I don't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to participate because I don't want to be called out. I don't want to be wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a big reason why you might not enter into that conversation. And so when you hear that voice, separate it out. That's not you. That's your ego. That's not your spirit. Your spirit wants to jump in the conversation and come out bloody, right? Mm-hmm. You want to come out like, man, I just got nailed by, and I just learned some stuff. And then you call someone at home and you're like in tears and you're like, this person told me I was this. And then that person that you call is like, yeah, you know, I never wanted to tell you, but I'm glad somebody did. Right? And so avoid because when you are wrong and you are in that, these conversations aren't for excitement and fun, they're for growth. Mm-hmm. And to me, growth is more valuable than excitement and fun because growth lasts forever. Excitement's fleeting. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, so the first one was, don't be afraid to be wrong. The second one is, don't be so pressed to be right. And so don't come in the conversation proving an agenda that you already knew where you were trying to take it before the conversation began. Mm-hmm. Don't come in there ready to talk rather than ready to listen. And so if what you're getting out of this conversation is your own ideas to be known to everyone, what's the point of us even entering into conversations if all we're going to come out of them is our own ideas? Well, I came in with my own ideas. Yeah. I don't want to come out with the same thing I came in with.
Yeah.
Right. But people think that they do because it makes them feel good about themselves to hear their ideas both not challenged and even better to be validated, because then that's validating some type of need for approval that's inside of them. And so this need to be right is actually a projection of insecurity and a need for approval. And if we can put that aside and just say, hey, let me suspend my own need for acceptance and approval because I already accept myself. Yeah. Let me hear what this person has to say, because then I can accept them. And the reason these things don't happen, we don't accept another, is exactly why, is because we don't accept ourselves, right? So we don't accept ourselves. We bring that projection out into the conversation. We say, I now don't accept you. So the first step would be, in order to reverse it, say, hey, I'm good. I don't need to prove my point to anybody because I already firmly believe in what I believe in. My own life experiences have validated my own values and my own way of seeing life. So I don't need anybody here to tell me that. Mm-hmm. Let me just come in and listen. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you accept yourself, you come in and you listen, and now you can accept another.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. So the time has absolutely flown, Sharif.
It's been about 40 minutes.
Yeah. The time has absolutely gone. And I think you've really unpacked. I mean, we could talk about this all day, but you've really unpacked some some key things that I think have been holding back the conversation and holding back what you call, you know, rumbling, and us really getting stuck in. So love to see more of that. We did, we were fortunate enough to have you for a session, you know, in the community, which was amazing. Love to see more of those. Before I ask you your last question, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm most active on Instagram right now, but my handle for Instagram and for Twitter are the same. Mm-hmm. It's my first and last name, .co. And actually, that's my website as well.
It's, okay, brilliant.
It's Sherif, Sherif, mm-hmm. Fouad, Fouad.co. And that's all three, my website, my Instagram, and my Twitter.
Okay, perfect. So I will make sure to include that in the description, guys. So do go and check Sherif out and cause mischief on his Instagram. So my last question is, you know, what's next for you? What's next for Rally Raw?
So for Rally Raw is to continue to be as you so kindly and eloquently put it, a beacon of light for the community. I can do that. I've noticed that I've been able to, I was a bottleneck in my own company. So as I remove myself, they've been really thriving, and I'm happy to see that. So if I can empower them from far and then encourage them to travel, mm-hmm. That's my goal for Rally Raw. And then just however we can, you know, show up for whatever the changing needs of the community are, mm-hmm. While staying rooted in what our core concepts are, we're that's what's next for Rally Raw. Not expanding, no more restaurants. It's always ever going to be that one location.
Yeah.
For me, I'm really excited about doing my first chapter. So when you stop recording, I'm going to start asking you some questions about when the next chapters are, because I'm getting antsy.
Yeah.
And then what I'd love to do is take what I've learned as a community builder and a restaurateur and take that on my travels, mm-hmm. and consult in the locations that I'm traveling at. And mm-hmm. so if I come across a cafe that shares the values that I have and is looking to become kind of a staple in a downtown epicenter, what we can do from a real estate perspective, what we can do from a community outreach perspective to be more than just a product, a physical thing, and more of an emotion and more of an experience. I think that's what I do really well. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to do that in more than one international location. I love the idea of just being free and traveling and having and connecting human beings from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so if we can do it around food and we can do it around hospitality, we can do it around music. I'm a DJ too. Like these are the things that get me going.
Yeah.
And so that's where I see my future, and just doing it all out of a backpack will keep me light and nimble.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time, Sherif. Absolutely love this episode. And I hope you guys listening will get a lot from it. Otherwise, we are going to see you in the next one. And I hope you're all staying safe, well, and happy. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
And that wraps up part two of this episode. I really hope that you all enjoyed it. And a huge thank you to Sherif. Do be sure to go and check him out on Instagram, Twitter, and his website. I will leave all of those details down below. If you would like to find out more about the Wi-Fi Tribe community, then do go and check out our website at wifitribe.co, or you can find us on Instagram at Wi-Fi Tribe. Otherwise, I hope you are all staying well, safe, and happy. Take care.